Before you're seated, look at this scripture, John 14. And I want you to take really good notes because I'm going to give you like some ones and twos today, a couple. And then I want you to go pray over them, and I want you to share them on Facebook because everything else is a mess on Facebook. Share the word of God. Share life. But check this out. This is Jesus talking. Look at these words. It's real key. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father. Somebody say, the Father. And he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And we all know this situation is when Jesus is getting ready to go and the disciples are freaking out saying, Jesus, you can't go. Please don't go. And he's like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to send the helper. Anybody thankful for the Holy Spirit? Which actually means we get everybody. It's awesome, the Spirit. He says, if you let me keep my commandments, then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. Anybody need help? And be with you forever. Yes. Next verse. The Spirit, I like to put it this way, the Spirit that will tell you the truth when everybody else is not. When everybody, every news station, even some preaching and teaching is not the truth. We need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will what? Be in you. Come on, talk to me a little bit. He says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you like an orphan. I will come to you. Jesus was saying, when I'm leaving, I'm actually coming. I'm not gonna walk out on you. I'm not gonna be an absentee dad. I'm not gonna birth you and then walk out the door. You're not gonna get born again and then I'm gonna leave you. He said, I will not, strong words, leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, please help me. Help me today. Like I've been praying, Lord, just give me your heart. I don't come to perform for anybody but you. I want to lean into your heart and hear your heartbeat for every person in this place and every person that's watching. Speak, Lord, in the next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn and tell somebody you're not an orphan. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphan. Say orphan. Today, as we just begin to take a step toward what Jesus wants to say in the next 6 weeks, I believe, I want you to open your heart about you the way I did sitting in that Starbucks, and I begin to realize, oh, Jesus, wait a minute. This is going to minister to some young people. So I encourage you, don't be on Snapchat. I encourage you to lean in and get what God has for you, because he's looking for some Daniels and some Esthers. And I encourage you to lean in. Whatever type of family you were raised in, whether you had a father or not, a mother or not, or whoever raised you, I need you to lean in, because these next 6 weeks are critical to what and necessary to what God wants to do in your life, through you, because we are Christ in the earth, and what he wants to do even in your schools, your business, your neighborhood, and all around Tuscaloosa. Can you say amen? There are things that we receive from our mother. We receive nurturing and care and certain things that only a mother can give, a tenderness. But can I tell you, as we start this series, there are certain things that only the Spirit of a Father can give. The Bible says he is the Father of all spirits. This is why you've got to understand, nobody slips into the earth by accident. I don't care if you were conceived in the back seat of a car and your dad was never around. The Bible says that God, the Father, he is the Father of all spirits. And just to tell you, the real you is your spirit. You're a spirit who lives in a body and possesses a soul. You're a spirit that lives in a body and you possess mind, will, and emotions. He is the Father. There is something that is paternal that we can only get from a father. And this series, for a minute, there's some of you that are going to maybe want to even feel like running out of the room. And I just want to expose the enemy. I pray the Holy Spirit change you down. Because the enemy does not want you free. The enemy does not want us understanding our adoption. The enemy does not want you understanding that you are not an orphan. Say, I am not an orphan. And I really want to make it plain by those that are even watching. You can be raised with the best daddy and mama, and for whatever reason, I guess, Dr. R, because of the fall, there are attributes, things, characteristics that we pick up, maybe family bondages that have been in your bloodline, that was in your daddy, your daddy's daddy, your mama, that have been passed down, and you have an orphan spirit. The NLT says it this way in verse 18. He says, I will not. Somebody say will not. Say will not. Walk with me real stronger because there's key. I know it seems basic, but walk with me. Say will not. It's key that you understand. He says, and let me just say, God is not a man that he should lie. I am a liar. You are a liar. But God has never told a lie. And when he says, I will not abandon you, God says, I will not conceive you, be with you for a minute, but when it's inconvenient, I'm leaving you. God is not selfish. God the Father is not about himself. He is obsessed with you. God is obsessed with you. And right now, I know it's like danger, Will Robinson. This doesn't compute. Like, you're saying all this. And trust me, just like I was saying before earlier in the service, I remember a time about 20 years ago that I would hear about the love of God. I would hear teachings by Malcolm Smith and different people in my life. Malcolm Smith is amazing. And all these teachings on the love of God. And I would go, oh, that's nice. I would think, mushy-gushy, love of God. What you've never experienced, sometimes you deny the reality of it. God says, I will not abandon you. You're not going to be that little boy and little girl that sits on the steps outside of the band room after band practice or football practice waiting for dad to pick you up and he never shows up. I'm going to be there every time. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not abandon you. You see, this message is not only will it resonate with lost people. I never call people sinners because Jesus never did. They're lost. This message, those that are watching and maybe in this room, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I pray by the end of this message, you come to know a Father that you have never known. Not a religion. Not a religion. But also so many believers have the residue of being an orphan and having an orphan spirit. And I believe, Dr. R, that the reason why we're not seeing revival is we haven't grasped the reality that we have been adopted by our Father. So as we deal with this, and it is a spirit, we have no problem celebrating Mother's Day. Just watch Facebook. Just come to church on Mother's Day. Most of us don't have problems. Some of us do because some of us struggle with the mother, the maternal part of God. But on Father's Day, there seems to get some weirdness at times. There seems to be hurt and pain. I don't even want to go to church on Father's Day, or I don't want to talk about this. God understands. That so many people deal with daddy issues. There are many orphans in the body of Christ when we don't have to be. You can know that you're adopted, but stay in the orphanage, Annie. You can know that you have an inheritance, but never go pick up the check. Help me, somebody. And this affects everyday life because many do not have an earthly relationship with their father, their biological father. If they do, it's awkward. It's limited. It's strained, Pastor, because that's what I'll ask so many people that come into my office, because first things first, I'll ask them, what is your relationship with dad, especially young men and even older men, because we have a lot of little boys in big boy bodies. And I'll say, "What? Tell me about your family a little bit. Tell me, because it lets me peek in, and also with discernment by the Holy Spirit, to what has happened in their past and were they left on the doorsteps when they were supposed to have been picked up." Is this resonating with anybody? There is a need for a mother and a father in one's life. Now, as I was writing this, I have to be so careful as a pastor because the devil gets real busy. And according to Mark 4, he'll try to steal the word even while I'm preaching it. So I'm not ignorant of his devices. So when I make a statement that everybody needs a mother and a father, it is a true statement. But if you're a single parent in this room, a single mom in this room, that's not a statement to say your child is going to be left out. It's actually quite the opposite. Because they don't have a dad at this present moment, or a mother at this present moment, or you're a grandparent raising a child. Because whether you realize it or not, all that we need is in Him. The mother part of God and the father part of God. Even when we lack and we don't even know how to be a mother or a father. Because we never seen one. Many of us are parenting off of what we've just seen. And it's like a husband that says, "I do love my wife and I'm loving her the best way I can. And she's upset and I have to look at her and say, listen, he's telling the truth. He is really loving you the best way he knows how." That's why we got to train up some men. We got to train up some husbands. We got to equip singles in 360. We got to equip marriages in M3. It's not that people don't want to. They don't know how. The church has sat around telling you what to do, but not how to do it. That's why we got to get practical at times, because God is practical. Somebody say mind shift. Say, transform mine. That's God's word, not some company, not some motivational speaker. The world sometimes is a better steward of the of things than the church. A transformed mind, the motivation that God puts in us, the glory of God, the momentum of God, is that he comes according to Romans 12 by his word and transforms this. Because sometimes this is the issue. Come on, somebody. You can sit and listen to teaching all day long, but until you allow your mind to have a mind shift. Somebody say, a transformed mind. In the Old Testament, we got a glimpse of God, Dr. R. But I really want to point out a glimpse. When you read the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, we see attributes and characteristics of God. Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Jehovah Sitkanu, he's our peace. All these things. Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. We've heard that before. But we have this picture of God in the Old Testament, of God the Father. But it's an incomplete picture until Jesus comes. You see, God had to put himself and constrain himself into a human being. There had to be a representative, or else we would have this view that we would have information about God, but not a revelation. And there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And so in the Old Testament, God the Father, he shows himself, he shows different attributes, but it's also an old covenant view. And man was in trouble. We couldn't keep sacrificing animals because an animal is not worth the life of a human being. There had to be a human being that came as our representative. His name is Jesus. That would give his life. But before he gave his life, we would begin to see God the Father on earth. We would begin to see the Father heart of God in action. We wouldn't just read about it. We wouldn't just read from Abraham and Moses and other people and read about this God. But we would now be able to experience God not only on earth, but as you receive him as Lord and Savior, God in your life. The Father heart of God. Not just information, not just about God, but relationship. Jesus made a lot of people angry when he came. Sad to say, it was mostly religious. Because he would make statements like, my Father, my Father, my Father. I'm not going to do anything unless my Father does it. When you see me, you have seen my Father. And so it would stir up. So Jesus kind of took the heat so that we could have a revelation of who God the Father really is. He was willing to go through it all the way to he endured the cross. He was crucified by the religious. Crucified by those that thought they knew God, his Father. We know that God only had one begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. So we know that Jesus had a right to come and say, this is how my Father is. You know, it's like if somebody were to come up to me about my dad and say, hey, and I hear them talking about my dad, and I'm like, that's not my dad. That's what made Jesus angry, is when people misrepresented the Father. Go check it out. He only got mad at people that misrepresented the heart of God, the Father's heart. So Jesus came to say, you want to see the Father? Look at me. The religious became so angry at such statements. But then it happened. There was a shift. And one day, the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. And at this moment, there's a shift. A humongous shift way before they went and won the city of Tuscaloosa. Way before they presented the gospel to their family. Teach us to pray. And Jesus opened the can and said, when you pray, say, our Father. What? All he's been talking about is my Father. Like he's the only son. But now he's saying that when we pray, we're to pray our Father. Somebody say shift. This was the shift of Jesus coming, the revelation that you're no longer an orphan. The revelation that you have a daddy. Come on. That you have a Father. That he's no longer just my Father as Jesus, but he's our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Somebody say, our Father. I really believe as I was writing this message, weeping in Starbucks, that so many people do not know how much God wants to be with you. So many believers have an orphan mindset and a spirit and thinks that God wants to be with everybody but me. But can I tell you, especially after driving my son to California, and he's gone right now, and my other sons that's walked through situations, do you realize how bad God doesn't want you with him? He wants to be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not forsake you. You are not alone. You are not forgotten in some orphanage. God is mad about you. God is in love with you. But Pastor, I'm no good. I just have to get honest. I have failed so much. I've done wrong. I've done some really stupid stuff. Guess what? He still wants to be with you. In fact, even more when you're walking through stuff. I lost my kid one time in a market in Mexico, and I have never felt such a pain as I looked all around in Mexico, this market, trying to, Ethan, where are you? You have no idea that when you're lost, how much God is going around. Where are you? Doesn't matter how good you've been, how bad you've been. Nothing changes His love. The Father's love for you. Waiting on the front porch, pacing for you to come home out of the pig slop. I can't sleep. I can't eat. When I was walking through something with one of my sons and the church was moving and God was doing great things, it was wonderful. But every night I would go to sleep and there was nothing like the pain of wondering if my son was going to make it. It doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world. You have every title. You have stocks and wealth. When your son or daughter is lost. When your son and daughter goes to church but still an orphan. It's even more painful. Because they're literally sitting in the presence of the Father and don't even realize that they're still an orphan. Is this making sense to anybody? Our Father. He's my daddy. He's your daddy. He's your father. If you can grab this revelation today, Miss Robin, I told you to listen out for this part, wherever you are, all those in our intercessory prayer, listen to me. If you can grab this revelation, just already what I just spoke about, your prayer life will change. There is a major difference between orphan prayers and adopted prayers. An orphan prayer says, if you would, please, would you for me? Will you please fix this? There's even orphan praise. And God is not moved by orphan praise or prayers. Your prayer life will change when you realize He is your Father. Your prayer life will change when you can come boldly to His throne without fear. That's my dad. My kids can come to me even when they've messed up. I pray right now, and they'll tell you they can. Even when they have failed. There was one time I was going to absolutely rail Isaiah for something he had done wrong. And I remember what it was. He was at the bottom of our stairs, and he had snuck out of the house. And it was when Isaiah was all over the place. Thank God for prayer. And he was ready for me to rail him. And my life goes into matrix mode sometimes with God. It's like a slow motion. And just when I got ready to do this, God said, how you talk to him will be how I talk to you. And we are so used because of our earthly father or the lack of being paddled and spanked and told what to do when you don't even know why you're doing it. Bad parenting. We're so used to being railed and called, you can't do anything. Why can't you even be like your sister or your brother? That this has been stamped, branded on our brain. And only God can heal that. And reveal that He is your Father. There's no God, please. God, thank you. Thank you, Father. If you were to sneak into my prayer time every day, you would hear a whole lot of, I love you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Because we're to invoke the name of Jesus on our prayers. It's access. But you're going to hear me talk to my dad as a son. Even when I'm about to lose it. When I don't have answers. Even when I hadn't done everything right. And I want to grow and I repent. Somebody say, our Father. We can believe that Jesus came, lived, died, rose again, shed His blood. We're going to heaven and all that. And still have an orphan spirit. still not understand how much he loves us. We can go to church on our way to heaven and live in the orphanage. We have such a, and I'm talking to me too, we have such a small idea of sonship. S-O-N. S-H-I-P. Sonship. Of being sons. Weos is the word. The sons of God. May God give it to us in the next 6 weeks. I said, may God give it to us in the next 6 weeks. That's a good place to agree with the word. It's a good place. You don't just say amen because it's churchy. Amen means, yes, I grab that. It means so be it right there. May God, you give me a revelation. Wash out an orphan mindset. So what happens many times is we do what Adam and Eve did when they sinned. We run. We run in fear when we have an orphan spirit. Many times when you have an orphan spirit, you get mad at God like he's turned his back on you. God, you're not with me. And we get angry at God, angry at Dad, that he's turned his back, and he's probably even angry with me. And he's going to get me. It's an orphan spirit. There's two major symptoms, write them down, of an orphan spirit. Are you getting something? Two major symptoms, you'll see them on the screen, approval and rejection. What I mean by approval is desiring it. Approval and rejection. Let's talk about approval for a minute. Now get ready. When you have an orphan spirit, you live a life searching for approval. It's not that you're arrogant. There's different types of pride. But you're on the search for finding approval. The approval of man. For somebody to like me. For somebody to tell me I'm doing a good job. To pat me on the back. I'm proud of you. When you have an orphan spirit, you're trying to get it from man. You're trying to get your worth and your value by what other people say or by a certificate on a wall or a trophy you won at football. And that's why when you get old and can't run anymore, you try to live through your son. Because you still have the mindset that I can't run on the football field anymore, but maybe my son can, and when I'm in the stands and he scores a touchdown, that's my boy, y'all. And I get a sense of value and approval trying to live my life vicariously through others. Approval can be so deadly. Trust me, I know about it. The very serious thing about orphan spirit and approval is, and I see it, you'll even sin for people to like you. You'll compromise your walk with God for people to like you. To fit in high school, to fit in middle school. It's Friday night football and everybody's going to a party at a bonfire. I don't want them to think I'm weird, so I better take a sip or a hit one time. You know, I just don't want to. And you'll literally compromise the very essence of your identity for who you are to win the approval, usually of people that don't like you anyway. We go around trying to win people's approval of people that they don't like you anyway. You don't want them in your life. High schoolers, trust me, the very people that knew I was a man of God in high school that looked at me funny at times are now inboxing me, saying, I see the life that you have and I want it. Because trust me, you'll outgrow that cheerleader uniform. You're going to slow down, Mr. Football. And it's so important that you find your identity in Christ. Rejection. Well, let me say this about approval. You'll find it in titles. You'll find it at church. Well, why did he become a pastor? Why are they doing that? I've been here longer than them. Well, you've been sitting on the bench drinking Gatorade. But if I just had a platform or had a title, trust me, you don't want it. The platform brings a lot with it every single day. And people try to find it in, a title at a job or a promotion. Let me tell you, that will last for a minute, and then the high comes down. Oh, man, this guy just tells me how gorgeous I am. That will last for a minute. Then the flowers stop. Because dating can be a fraud. Rejection. So many deal with this in the body of Christ. We all have, right? So many are fighting depression because of rejection. I'm all for medication, and God uses doctors. But too many are numbing what is a spirit. Rejection is painful. I get so, anybody else get mad at the little guy on the bus or the girl that gets made fun of by other people? That's why I told the students last week, please go look for the person at the lunch table by themselves. I hate rejection. Sometimes I feel it like Jesus, the pain in other people. I walked into a store last night. I was somewhere around the world. I was somewhere. And I walked into a store, and I walked out of it and said, there's such sadness on her. There's such sadness. And we're talking a lady that's probably 60 years old. There's such sadness. So many have this orphan spirit of looking for approval and rejection in their life. It breaks my heart, like I said, when people are rejected. I made this statement. I had them put it on the screen. May it never be said that DFC Daystar rejects people. We may not approve of what you are doing, but we will never reject anybody in this house based on nationality, race, religion, sexuality, red, yellow, black, white, devil possessed, disabilities, whatever. This house will love. We may not approve, but we will accept everybody. Trust me, if I'm not living right, please don't approve of what I'm doing. Because people have a tendency to surround themselves with people doing the same thing to make it all right. Don't approve if I'm in sin. Tell me the truth. If I'm getting ready to walk off a cliff, my God, somebody tell me. But I'll tell you what, in this house, I pray God brings everybody. Because I've seen it. Even those that deal with sexuality and things in their life, the pain and the hurt, the depression. This house will never reject anybody. How does someone with an orphan spirit act when they meet new people? Can I tell you? When somebody deals with an orphan spirit, they automatically preconceive in their idea, in their mind, they won't like me. Watch this. Hang with me. This is huge. I'm hurrying. When you have an orphan spirit, before you even meet people, you will have in your, what is called your subconscious, in your prehistoric lizard part of your brain, in your limbic system, your emotional part of your brain, you will already have a preconceived idea, they're not going to like me anyways. When they find out who I really am, they're not going to like me. They're going to reject me just like everybody else. And thus, it creates this person. It's an orphan spirit that walks around closed. Either it's closed or very defensive. Unconscious and not conscious. You don't mean to, but you do. You've already made up your mind that if I walk over there, those girls are going to treat me weird. Those guys are jocks. They won't like me because I'm a band geek. Well, I was one, glory to God. They won't accept me at the lunch table. Some of you were rejected at the lunch table and you're still paying the price. Some of you are rejected by the opposite sex. That's why you're swinging to the other sex. You were abused by the opposite sex. Thus, God, the enemy twists your compassionate heart to go over here because you relate with the rejected. So then you think you are one. And it has nothing to do with sex. Rejection. Defensive, closed, bound, even fearful when meeting new people. They won't like me at Daystar. This is why I go in and go out. I know Pastor wants us to come and meet people and come to Wednesday night class and prayer and all these things, but I don't even know. They won't like me. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Truthfully, we don't like you. We love you. We love you. We love you so much. Not as much as him. We try to have that level of unconditional love, but we love you. Go ahead and bring it up in here and bring it real good. I love Daystar. Thank God for this house. When you have an orphan spirit, you're giving off vibes, frequency. You know, if you've ever studied this, science is God. You cannot separate science and God, FYI. You know your body gives off frequencies and vibes without saying a word. When you walk into the room, there are vibes on you. Frequencies on you. Don't like me because I don't like myself. Don't like me. You're going to reject me just like everybody else in life has. You don't want me as your friend. Has anybody ever struggled with this? Thank you for being honest. Some in this room have struggled with what I'm talking about for too long. Way too long. How do you know if you have some of this? Concerning even people, you can count your best friends on one hand. Maybe it's just two fingers. Maybe it's one. That's how you know if you have an orphan spirit. You see, an orphan spirit will leave a string of broken relationships. You're friends with somebody for a year, you're no longer friends. You're friends, no longer friends. 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 Friends, no longer. And now you're in your 40s. And how many friends have you had in these 40 years? I got one. And you go, well, I don't know. I just need the right people, Pastor. I hadn't found the right people. I just need the right relationship. I know I'm this age right now and I have no friends, but can I say something so loving? Maybe it's not them, it's you. I told y'all I was going to gut this thing. I sat and boohooed like a baby. Maybe it's not the people. Maybe you're dysfunctional with an orphan spirit. Well, Pastor, that's pretty strong. Listen, he's got to reveal whatever he heals. But I promise you, whatever God reveals, he heals. Who wants this out of you? Your prayers are being hindered. Your marriage. You struggle with marriage and relationships, even parenting, because of this. How can you love somebody when you don't know what it is? How can you love somebody when you don't love yourself? Oh, come on, somebody help me a little bit. Relationship after relationship. Well, it's them, it's them, it's them. Or you go victim triangle. Drama triangle, which is victim, villain, hero. You try to be one of the three in the drama triangle. And you all of a sudden, well, I'm just no good. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. Nobody likes me. I think I'm going to kill myself. I think all this and da 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 da. Hush! The devil is a liar. Shift. 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 Pull the lever. I love you. I'll babe you for a minute. But there's a time to shift from victim. There's a time to shift from the drama triangle. There's a time to quit blaming. It's called the blame shift. Blame, 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 blame. It was my daddy. It was my mama. It was them. It was her fault in school. It was their fault. I love you. I'll hold you for a minute. But the Bible says there's an expiration date for grieving. He told Israel, you got 30 days. I'll give you 30 days. But after 30 days, you got to quit grieving about your past. You got to let go of your past. You got to shift to your future. You got to let your future self talk to you and hang up on your past. Hang up the telephone. Hang it up. Hang it up. Hang it up. Hang it up. Hang it up on people that hurt you, people that abused you. Shift into what God has for you. Why are you telling me this? Because I love you. More importantly, He loves you. I don't want you going around any longer in your 40s. You that are 17, I don't want you growing into this. Because the longer you keep it, the more it grows. I'm almost done. It's out of fear. An orphan spirit grows out of the soil of fear. Trust me, I know about it. Chase, I know about it. I dealt with fear so strong at your age. I had no reason to. I had good parents. I used to have to lay in bed and quote 2 Timothy 1:7 as a teenager. So I know what I'm talking about. And we can act a good game in front of everybody. In front of our girlfriends and guys and all this. But then we go to bed with that Goliath. It's time to kill it. It's time to be a giant slayer. The good news is He already slayed him. It's false evidence appearing real. It's fear. It's a shadow. Fear. And thus you become a runner. Fear means to take flight. You live a life of flight. You start feeling tension in a room. Baby, we got to go. You walk into a room. It's uncomfortable with people. They're not going to like me. Preconceived ideas, orphan spirit. It's coming off of you. Vibe, 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 vibe. You say, well, I'm just not social. That's a lie. Let me put a camera in your house. When you're in a safe place in your mind and you're not all that quiet, baby. We shut down. We get uncomfortable. We get fearful. And when we get around something, we run from it. We run from them. We run from a situation. We hang up the phone and we keep it off for days. We take flight. It's an orphan spirit. We live a life afraid. There comes a time, and this is going to hit strong, where you repent. Repent. Yes, repent. That you have believed lies over your father's word. Somebody say, no more running. I mean, you got to mean it. No more running. Rejection, approval. I don't have to go around. Some people that have an orphan spirit spend their life being competitive. Because when they get a trophy or they get recognition or get stars, oh. And they're always looking for recognition. A trophy. That works when you're in high school. But the trophies stopped for me. The little band medals, they stopped. I can't even remember what it's like to be all county and all state. I began to think I'm all nothing. Because I was living off of medals, accolades, approval. People, oh, that's good. Let me just tell you, even as a pastor, many in ministry are like this. How big is the altar call? How big is your church? It's not your church, one. How about this? How large are y'all now? And so pastors are tormented every day. What about the guy that pastors in a town of 1,000? That pastors over 100? He's pastoring 10% of his church. I think he's doing a pretty good job. Let me close here. We receive many things from a mother, but what do we receive from the Father? Number one, real quick, identity. Give me just a couple more minutes. I hope this is touching somebody. Next week is going to be good. Identity. You know, my last name is Schatzline. I've been called everything with that last name, by the way. All in high school, they called me a different name than Schatzline. Joking around with me. I had no choice about that last name. In fact, I'm pretty proud of that last name right now. Because we were a bunch of drug addicts and German drunks who committed suicide. And our identity changed. No, you don't need to take somebody else's last name. Change yours. If your last name has a bad taste in the city, change the identity. I had no choice, and I'm proud. My daddy, my father, gave me that name, Sherelle, just like you were given a name. And then when we get married, we're given another name. And then we've also been given the name of Jesus. And I received my identity from my father, Schatzline. Did you know that God gives you your identity? No matter how you were born, where you were born, mother or father, your identity comes from God the Father. Somebody say, our Father. Let's do this. Say, my Father. The reason so many youth are caught up in gangs and violence and all these killings going on that we're seeing, it's an identity issue. Sad to say, so many young people find their identity more in a gang than they do at church. It's a false identity. They're searching for their identity. Ephesians 1:5 says, God decided in advance. In other words, it wasn't an afterthought. Look at this again. God decided what? Look at this. In advance. That means this was not an afterthought. To what? To what? Come on, to what? To adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself. How? Through Jesus. This is what he wanted. You see, when you walk into an orphanage, the one who's adopting picks. I want that one. Oh, I want that one. It says, this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to adopt us. And it gave him what? You are wanted. You are wanted. You are wanted by God. You have been adopted by your heavenly Father. Hang on one second, Greg. Of all weeks to start this series, when I took Isaiah this week, and I remember feeling that way with Noah when he went to Miami, and Ethan when he drove off in that little blue car. I want to say something. Some of you really don't believe he wants you. Chose you. He adopted you. And maybe you don't even know your value after all that you've been through. You don't know how valuable you are. I got on the airplane boohooing like a baby. I was in the airport boohooing like a baby after I dropped Isaiah. I held him. And he said, Daddy, who am I going to talk to in the morning? Because I spent the last 2 years him asking me questions every morning as a father. And discipling him every morning. He said, who am I going to ask my questions to? I wanted to be real narcissistic at that point. But I said, you've got a father that you can now even more ask him questions. I said, son, you're a man. And just like I gave you to God when you were a baby at dedication, I've never taken you back. You belong to God. He wants you. His answers are a whole lot better than mine. You're valuable. Where's a single mom at in here? It's got a couple kids. Is there a single mom with a couple kids? Come right here. Right here. Rosalind. Lord spoke to my heart. I want to give you $100. You don't know about that right there. You don't know about that. Now. Come on. In fact, I'm going to give you $200. Come here. Eddie, come help me real quick, possibly. Come here real quick. Come on, Mom, give it to somebody else. I'm teasing. You see, Jesus knew what this is going to do. How much is this worth right here? How much?
It's not.
So the value of it is what?
Nothing.
It's $200. It's worth a lot. Right? It'll make a difference. Right now, I want you to take your babies to a movie. I want you to go have fun. I want you to take them to Gospel Chicken, Chick-fil-A, wherever. I don't care. But so this has the value of $200. What does it have the value of now? How much is that worth? And pardon me. How much is that worth? That didn't change the word? All right, hang on a second. You ain't. Rodney told me not to move while I was preaching, but I'm sorry. Somebody come hold this door open real quick. Ooh, there's a bunch of mud right there. Just smeared it. In mud. Did that change the value of this money? So no matter what, it's been spat on, rubbed in the mud, crushed, beat up, hell, talk like you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You ain't worth nothing. Ain't worth anything. You'll never amount to anything. How much is that worth? Even after I said all that. Still $200. The point is, no matter what you've walked through, you're still just as valuable as the day you were born. Come on, somebody. You are still just, nothing has changed about your value. Your value is still the same. Second thing we get from our Father, we get identity and I'm done, inheritance. And I'm not talking about necessarily money. Inheritance is even given while the Father's alive and he's alive. Ephesians 1:11, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we've received an what? An inheritance from God. I know for my kids, even a lot of spiritual kids of ours, they won't go without. I was driving to California with Isaiah, and he was overwhelmed with gratefulness. It really touched my heart. We drove 36 hours in a car to get his car to California. Because dads will do anything for their kids. And he said, Dad, I just can't believe, because people started calling us, one of the pastors at Bethel, and I even got to, they invited me to the Bethel staff meeting, and just long story, just God. And Isaiah's going, because we're getting phone calls, and he's like, Dad, I don't deserve this. I can't believe this. I'm so thankful that I'm your son, that I carry your name. He didn't know what I was preaching on. He said, I don't deserve this. And he started just going, thank you. When we were driving out in the middle of nowhere. And I said, you're welcome. But you do realize it's yours no matter what. He looked over me one more time and said, thank you, Dad. It's yours no matter what.
Amen.
God has given you an inheritance. You belong to God. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Coming down from where? The. Matthew says, be anxious for nothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Therefore, be anxious. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Daddy's got you. Daddy's got you. The fact is, God has been better to us than we've been to him. That's a good place to say amen. God has been better to you and me than we've done for him. Some of you have a performance mindset because your daddy spanked you, beat you. If you didn't score enough touchdowns, hit enough balls, if you didn't do just right, he didn't treat you right. God is not that way. He loves you not based on your performance, man. He said, I've come and I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I hear God telling somebody this today, and I need you to listen. If your earthly father has failed you, release him. Why? Because God picked up the slack. Let your earthly father go. Forgive him. He honestly, we can argue about it, I'm not here, but I promise you, he was doing what he knew to do. And when you're possessed with yourself and not born again, you're going to put yourself first. Release your earthly dad today so you can embrace the adoption of the Heavenly Father. Why did God do all that? And why did he pick up the slack? To let all of us know, even my great daddy, Bishop Patrick M. Schatzline, Dr. Rickles, two of the best dads in the world, but there was stuff that only God could give me that they couldn't give me. God did it to say, you need me, whether you realize it or not. I don't care if you were born in a mansion or in a shack. You need me as your dad. And I've come to adopt you. I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. You want me? Yeah, I want you. I want to have relationship. God is saying, whatever you missed with your earthly dad, I've got it. But you got to release that and forgive him. He was flawed, just like you are. But God is perfect in all of his ways. There's a moment you say, I'm no longer a victim.